So there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sean Wanninger, and I'm thrilled to be here again this month. Who all has vibrated with me before? Great. What we do is we take our wonderful word, God, and we vibrate with it. You know, the Easterners, they own we God. Because I had looked for the history of the word God, and I couldn't find it. Where did it start? And I Googled God, and I didn't find the answer I was looking for. And I talked to other ministers, and they told me about God, but they never told me where the word came from. And finally, I went to a channeler who told me that God was taught in ancient mystery schools as a vibration. And that made sense to me, because all words are a vibration that indicates something to us. And we have endowed this word as life, as intelligence, as love itself, as presence itself, as power itself. So what I like to do is take our word, and we go, take a breath, and we go, God. And we're going to do that a few times to raise the vibration, because we want the whole experience of God as health and well-being, wealth and harmony. So, go with me. Don't worry about being on pitch, because God doesn't care.
Yeah.
Just let the vibration happen in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of your being. And we go like this. We go, God. See how nice that was? There was a couple of you that didn't join in. Would you all join in this time? Take a breath. Here we go. God. Okay, one more time. Drown me out, please. We're going to raise the roof. Here we go. Christ in me is awake now. Let the light at the highest part of your being flow in and through, from head to toe and toe to head, touching every aspect of your being. The awakened mind, the mind, the Christ mind that remembers God, that remembers good, the mind within us that remembers health, and wholeness, and harmony, and abundance. Christ in me, awake in and through every experience, in and through every breath in and every breath out. Till finally we find our way into the journey of silence. And on your journey within, find yourself. The good in me is awake now. The very good that has no opposite is awake in me now. The good in me is awake now. Let's go on in. the very good that is my essence is awake in me now because I remember God. I remember life. I remember love. I remember peace. I remember what I am because I remember what God is. So in that assurance, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary. This place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. My friend Lena. She's my friend. Have you seen one of these? It's called a Bible. And it's a good book. When correctly understood. If it's not correctly understood, it's not such a good book. It's a horrifying tome of mass murder and criticism. But if you correctly understand it, if you're willing to pick up your metaphysical Bible dictionary, which I'm sure you all have, one of sitting on your basement floor. So this comes from Matthew 22 for the wedding feast. Now you may ask, why am I doing a talk on the wedding feast today on Mother's Day? Well, I'll tell you why, because I looked up on Google parables for Mother's Day, and this is the one that was recommended. So there, even though it says nothing about Mother's Day, it talks about weddings. And it says here, and again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a marriage feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, behold, I have made ready my dinner, my oxen, and my fatted calves are killed. Sorry, vegetarians. And everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it and went off. And the king was angry. And he sent his troops and destroyed the people who refused to come and make fun of him. Because that's what they did in the Bible. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the thoroughfares and invite to the marriage feast as many as you can find. And those servants went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Thank you. I'll see you next month. I hope you gleaned what you needed to glean from that message. You imagine. So, this stuff is hard to take in if not properly looked at. Because what does that mean? Well, I had to look at what is a wedding? What is a wedding? A wedding is a joining together. The kingdom of heaven, he compared to a wedding of joining together spirit and the body. But it starts with spirit. It starts with the invisible. And then we hear that the first group had no interest in joining him at his feast. Had no interest at all. The second group downright made fun of the invitation. How ridiculous. And then the second group went ahead and killed all the people that invited them, which is what they did then. And then we have the third group who came, except that one man who wasn't wearing the wedding garment. Now, what is the wedding garment? And, well, when you read your Bible, as I know you do, you see that there's lots of garments in the Bible. was Joseph in his coat of many colors, and people were tearing garments, they're rending them. And then there's Jesus' garment, which is the robe, the seamless robe, the white seamless robe. And it seems that that is the most desirable, the seamless garment, the one where there is no separation. And of course, the garment is not about fabric, and it's not about the physical. The garment, the wedding garment, the joining garment, is the consciousness. It's the coming together in consciousness that you would actually desire to know your oneness with what we call God, rather than, well, there's God and there's God and there's you and there's me and so we maintain our categories, as it were, our separation, even though we come to church and we read our metaphysical books and we pray and we do all that, and we still keep one foot out the door for when we want to go play out of spirit, for when we want to sit in judgment, for when we want to hold unforgiveness, for when we want to make money more important, for when we want to make our resentments more important. I mean, who here would give up your deepest resentment, your deepest unforgiveness, to live in the kingdom all the time? I was going to say, hardly any hands. So, I've got to ask, how come you haven't done it? Are you waiting till you get older? Dear Lord, look at some of you. What are you waiting for, people? I mean, really, what are you waiting for? I know for me, I'm waiting for an apology from a few of them. How about that? I will not enter the kingdom until some of these people apologize to me. Anybody here with me? How many here is holding out for an apology from a couple of people? You know, I'm not going to forgive until they let me know they know what they did wrong. And I marvel at the people who don't have a clue that they did anything wrong. They have no idea that they transgressed in their behavior. I'm really impressed by that, and a little frightened that perhaps I'm one of those people that have done things that I have no idea I even did. It seemed fine to me at the time. Just last week, I suggested in my church that someone go and apologize to someone else, and she said, before? I said, well, you kind of blasted them a couple of weeks ago here. Really? I didn't know. Because they weren't thinking about the other person. They were saying, I've got all this upset, and I've got to display it somewhere. And it's a magical moment. I was in southwestern Pennsylvania this week, and I was picking out, David's birthday this week, and I brought him back a cake that I really like. And I had ordered it, and I forgot to tell them what colors I wanted on the flowers. And so I was calling the baker on my speakerphone in the car, just as I got stuck in traffic behind someone who decided to not go at the green light. Now, I did gently tap my horn. I did not lay on the horn. I wasn't there to attack. But then when he didn't move, I said a word I'm not going to say on this stage. Now, he couldn't hear me. I'm in the car. The windows are up. However, the woman at the bakery who just answered the phone heard me loud and clear on speakerphone. What a way to start her day. With a nice apology. And I did apologize. I said, oh, that wasn't meant for you at all. But you're welcome. Then I'm sorry. And so I lost consciousness for a moment in my need to display my emotions, because I forgot for a moment that I was invited to the wedding. I forgot that I had been invited to join in consciousness with God consciousness. I forgot and I remembered very quickly. As I heard, "Hello, Crinsies." I remembered very, this is the bakery. I remembered very quickly, and I thought, what I just proclaimed in my car seat here isn't who I want to behave as. It isn't. I do believe that many are called and few are chosen. But what that means is all are called and few are choosing. See, God's not holding back on us. The invitation from Spirit, from God, however, from principle, from source, whatever word you want to use for it, it's because it's all the same definition. It's just how you use it in your mind. But that there's no judgment in Spirit, and there's no saying you can't come in until you've wiped your feet. From God's viewpoint, I can't come in until I have aligned my consciousness, because I'm not even aware that the kingdom exists when I'm in my state of forgetting. I'm not aware that God exists except in theory when I'm in my state of forgetting. I'm not even aware that I exist as a God being, except in theory and in, you know, I can talk a good line. It's about practicing it. How do I practice that every day, every moment of every day? And when I forget, how do I forgive myself? Very quickly. How do I align myself again? Very quickly. Because you see, God does not need me to be guilty. I've said this so many times here, but I'm going to say it again. And take it in. Write it down. Guilt is not redemption. We will not redeem ourselves to the consciousness of the kingdom by way of guilt. What we will do is delay the journey of pain and shame and suffering a little while longer while we are in guilt. There is no higher power, no deity, no being, no principle that ever wants us to be guilty. That thinks it is a virtue to be guilty. We must wake up to our consciousness of thinking from where it is right this second and say, is this where I want to live in consciousness? Am I getting joy from what I'm thinking? Am I experiencing the joy that is promised, that is absolutely promised to me from my current state of thinking, my current state of unforgiveness, my current state of poverty or sickness? Am I experiencing the joy that is promised of the kingdom, of the consciousness of the kingdom? If you are, then you keep going. But if you are not, if I am not, then I've got to shift. And it's not about waiting around till God gets to me so that I can be happy. It is about insisting, absolutely insisting that I see. That I see. And then in prayer I say, what must I think in order to experience what I want to experience? And then I will hear answers. I always hear answers. The voice speaks to me loud and clear. I was talking to a friend just this morning who said that she hears the voice in the shower. I hear it more frequently when I'm driving. But I hear it all over the place. The voice speaks to me. I don't hear a human voice speaking. Divine ideas. I get a divine idea. Pray. Apologize. Think differently. Think about this way instead of this way. Remember that money is not your source. Remember that your body is not your source. Remember that people are not your source. I hear those things at times when I need to remember that principle is my source. Love is my source. Wisdom is my source. You'll notice in the Bible it says, with all thy getting, get understanding and wisdom. Nowhere does it say, with all thy getting, get cash. Now, it does not say that poverty is a virtue in our Bible or any Bible. It does not say, at least none of the books I read, tell me that poverty is a virtue. So it's not about hating money. And it's not about trying to get rid of my wealth. It's not about trying to get rid of anything, quite frankly. It's about acceptance of the good that I am, the good that I've always been, and the good that I will always be. Now, a couple of years ago, David had a show on Broadway called Scandalous, and it was about Amy Semple McPherson. If you don't know her, she created the megachurch back in the 20s. She was an evangelical preacher, Pentecostal. And she did tent preaching, 20,000 people under tents and things. She did hands-on healing, she did all that. But when she built her mega church in California, in Los Angeles, called Angelus Temple, and it had 5,000 seats, and she had 5 services on Sundays. She had a total of 27 services a week. Yeah, it was impressive. She was enthusiastic. Charlie Chaplin had sets built for her, even though he didn't go to her church and stuff. But it was very theatrical, and it did all this. But above her pulpit, she had inscribed, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, in my Unity teaching, I didn't know what that meant. Because many people mean that as a person. That Jesus Christ is a person rather than a consciousness. And so I thought, oh, in Unity we teach Jesus Christ as the awakened man. The awakened being, there's Jesus the man. There's Jesus Christ, the awakened man. And then there's Christ Jesus, the risen man. But Jesus Christ is the awakened being, the one that knows they are connected without a doubt with their source, God. Principle. Love. They're not, that there is no separation. There's no separation between the two, even though we speak as if there is. So I thought, how are we the same as Amy Semple and her beliefs with that above her pulpit? And I thought, well, the awakened man, the awakened being, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Suddenly, I had one church where I was not separate from. And see, that's what I'm looking for is, how are we the same? How are we the same? How are we the same? When I went to Interfaith Seminary, I was taught about my previous churches and what have you, that the slogan is always in addition to, never instead of. So any of you who would ever proclaim, announce to the world, rather than state, I am a recovering this or that, please stop saying that. It's kind of tacky, quite frankly. You're not smarter for saying it, and you're negating that very church got you here. Those teachings, those experiences, pleasant or unpleasant, got you here. Years ago, I had lunch with a friend of mine, or this woman I used to like nightclub acts, and we went to lunch. And she grew up a Catholic, and she was still a Catholic. She talked about her church as if the way I talk about Unity. She had such joy. So it tells me, oh, it's not, oh, put that down. I didn't go to Catholic Church as a kid, so I don't know that much about it. But what I found out is people can find joy in spirit if they look. Do you hear me? People can find joy in spirit if they look. If you're putting demands on spirit, like, give me this health, but I'm not going to develop the consciousness to experience it. Give me this wealth, but I'm not going to do forgiveness work. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to do any of that, but I want some cash. Give me a relationship, but I'm not going to change. I'm not going to shift to make room for another consciousness in my life. And a lot of times we want this stuff because we think it'll give us stuff. Give me a lot of money, because then I'll be happy. Well, the two don't go together. Give me a relationship, because then I'll be happy. Now, give me several relationships, and then I'll be happy. One is work. One long-term monogamous relationship is work to stay in. There can be great joy in it. There can be a lot of stuff. But anyone who has been in a long-term relationship knows there's two people there. With short-term relationships, there's just me. And as soon as that other person starts imposing, I have to walk away, thank you. But in the meantime, you know, I'm going to keep that door out of the foot, out of the kingdom. And so to keep looking at it, am I choosing? Because that's really what it comes down to. Am I choosing? Lena gave us the invitation. Come on to my house, I'll give you candy. I will give you candy, God said. And so, Lena God, and I'll give you candy, I'll give you Easter egg. She loved my hair. And so to look at that and say, I have an invitation. I have a very special invitation into the kingdom. And if you look at your parables, almost all of them say, to enter the kingdom, or the kingdom is like this, or something. Jesus is saying, here's a way in. Rethink. Rethink your circumstances. Rethink your resentments. Rethink your body and its health. Rethink your money and your wealth. Rethink love. Rethink all of it. Rethink every single aspect of your being. Rethink it. But seek to think as God would think. Because here's how God thinks. I can tell you this much. God doesn't think with problems in mind. God's not thinking, oh, hope I can do this. Oh, I hope. Jesus didn't come to Lazarus' grave saying, I hope this works. You know? Walk with assurance into your oneness. Choose. I choose love today. I choose peace today. I choose joy today. But if you're choosing that, it can't be based on conditions. Well, I tried to choose it, but then this happened and I got stuck in this line. No, you didn't choose. Or you re-chose very quickly when it didn't look the way. I'll be right there. It didn't happen the way you thought it would happen. Oh, see? I can't have any good. My good should look like this. Well, I got news for you. My good does look like this. This is what my good looks like today. Thank you, God. I asked, and this is what I see. Therefore, this is what my good looks like. Choose to love it for today so that you can begin to love all things, all beings, all situations. You know what you want. But choose. Choose the kingdom for your beloved self. Choose the kingdom for your beloved neighbor that you like or don't like. Choose the kingdom for your parents that you like or don't like. Choose the kingdom for your spouse or your former spouse or your former spouse. Choose the kingdom in consciousness. Become willing that all beings would be happy. Even the one that just cut you off in traffic. Even the one that pushed you out of the way to get on the train or down the steps to the train. Choose because you can. Choose. I promise you this. When you choose, there is a new thought coming to help you with the next thought. And then there's another thought coming to help you with the next thought. And then there's another thought coming to help you with the next thought. There's always a new thought on the way to follow this thought. Don't abandon this thought waiting for the next one. Just know as you're choosing, there's another one on the way. So you can go ahead. It's safe to make this choice and this choice and this choice because there's another opportunity coming. Another one, and another one, and another one. So let's all give thanks now that it's safe to choose.